Yom Shvat, Tovshin Samaches, January 9th, 2008.
Good evening, welcome everyone. Share number 72. Before we begin tonight, I think it's only appropriate that we mention the Petira, the passing of the Meir Rosh Yeshiva, Shmuel Berman Zatzal, that was, his Levaya was this past Monday in Flatbush by his Yeshiva. And this year should be an aliyah for his neshama. Tonight we will end the Psukei de Zimra and begin the next chelak, the next portion of the tefillah, of the Seder. We were ending by with the Kaddish. The Kaddish concludes the Psukei de Zimra. And we begin by the Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu is the continuation of the prayer, the tefillah that we are up to. And is the introduction to the Berachas Kriyashma, to the brachas that precede Kriyashma Shel Shachas, the brachas of Kriyashma in the morning. And what we'll do is we'll first discuss a little about Kaddish, and then a little about Baruch Hu, and a few powerful stories. I'll try to put it all together in Sashem. So originally Chazal, our sages put together seven times through the davening, throughout Shachris Min Chamariv, that we have to say Kaddish. And the Rekeach and the Levush, one of the Rishonim, the Levush, one of the Achronim, they say there's a smach, a source for this from the Pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek, Kuf Yates, Pasuk Kuf Samach Dalet, it says, Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha, I praise you seven times daily. So they want to say that perhaps this is a source for that that institution of saying Kaddish seven times a day, a minimum of seven times a day. Later on, it became turned to 10, and then, according to different Hagim, it's even sometimes more. Originally, it was 3 by Shachris, 2 by Mincha, and 2 by Mariv. The Anshei Knesset Gdola, those who organized the Tefillah, the Siddur, they established that we should say a Kaddish before Shmona Esrei. And we have that before Mincha, we have that before Mariv. However, before Shachris, the importance of being Semech Geulah L'Tefillah, the redemption of Goal Yisrael, the last bracha, right before Shmona Esrei, is so extremely important that we don't have any interruption. So they said we cannot make a Kaddish right before Shmona Esrei. We'll say this Kaddish, after Shmona Esrei. We say, Yisgada of Yisgada Shemei Rabba, may His great name be blessed forever and for all eternity. And then the main focal point of the Kaddish is, Yehei Shemei Rabba Mevarach L'Olam L'Meil Mayo. We say Amen, we answer Amen, and the Amen is, one should pause, and then continue after he pauses for a second, because the Amen is going to the previous part. We're davening right before that, we daven Ba'agolo, Uvizman Kariv, V'Imru, speedily in the near future, v'imru amen, period. Then, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach L'Olam Ulmei Olmayo. May His great name be blessed forever and for all eternity. This Yehei Shmei Rabba is the focal point of the Kaddish. So since we cannot say the Kaddish before the Shmona Esrei, because of the importance of being Semech Geulah L'Tefillah, the redemption to the Shmona Esrei, we say this Kaddish afterwards, like we said. But the Kaddish specifically we're discussing tonight is the Kaddish right after the Psukei de Zimra. Because this Kaddish, it ends the Psukei de Zimra, and then we begin with the second Chelak, the second portion of this Tefillah we're up to now, being the Brachos that precede the Kriya Shema. Originally, what we call a Chatzi Kaddish, a half Kaddish, that was the entire Kaddish. Then later on, during the Gaonim period, who lived around the year 600 to 950, they added on Yehei Shlomo Rabba, Al Yisrael Bar Arbonon, the Kaddish Tiskabel, all these different forms of Kaddish, they added that on later on. But originally, it was just the Chatzi Kaddish that we have right in front of us, right after the Yishtabach, That was the entire Kaddish. Then the Kaddish was made longer, so then it's called half. Kaddish has to be said with a minyan. It's a Dovr Shebek Dusha. Just like Baruch Hu has to be said with a minyan. A minyan means, of course, 10 male adults. Adults means over the age of 13. Just like Kedusha, Kriyas HaTorah, Haftarah. Interesting to note that Kaddish was originally in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh. The Gemara Brachas Daf Gimel says over there, we said, not the Hei Shmei Rabba Mevorach, but the Hei, the name, Shmei Shem HaGodol Mevorach. HaGodol, the Shem, the name, the great name, because originally it was in Hebrew. And what happened was, since the people, the common folk forgot, were not familiar with the Hebrew language, Lashon Kodesh, the Lashon Kodesh, the Holy Tongue, they were familiar with their language of the town, it's Aramaic, so then it changed to Aramaic. The reason why it changed to Aramaic is because of the importance of saying the Kaddish and understanding what we're saying. So since they spoke this Aramaic, that's why it was changed to Aramaic. Now once we said, as we said, that the Tzibur, it has to be said with a minyan, Kaddish has to be said with a minyan. And the Chazan says, Yiskadol Yiskadish Mei Rabo. He's saying that God's name should be exalted and sanctified. And then we answer, Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach. This Tzibur is an acronym for Tzadikim, Beinanim, and Rishoyim. Tzadik, Beis, take out the Vav, and Reish, Tzadikim, Beinanim, and Rishoyim. And we don't need to sit so much, it's alright. Most probably when we say Rishoyim here means that they did Tshuva, and then they repented. That's what we say here, Rishoyim. We have similarly by Baruch Hu, as we said, we're discussing Kaddish and Baruch Hu. By Baruch Hu, the Chazan says Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu is Hashem HaMevayroch. He's blessing Hashem's name forever and ever. And we respond, Baruch Hashem HaMevayroch Lioylon Ved. Blessed is Hashem, who is blessed forever, Lioylon Ved, forever and ever. And we say that Tzibur says this together. The Chazan is inviting everyone to join in what? The Tzibur, the Tzadikim, the Beinim, and those people who were Rishayim, but they did Shuva, in sanctifying the name of Hashem. There's another type of Kaddish, a Kaddish Yosem, as the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis tells us, that the person can honor his parents when he is alive, when the parent is alive, and he can honor his parents when the parents are not alive. One way of honoring one's parents when they're not alive is by saying Kaddish. And we'll bring a very powerful story from Rabbi Akiva, the great Tana, Rabbi Akiva, to explain this point. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us as well, Kuf Yates on Beis, we're just discussing a few quick points about Kaddish to get to the main part of the shir. Kol ha'oyne yehei shmei rab mevorach amein yehei shmei rab mevorach lo'olam amel amayu b'chol koichoy koin lo'y gazar dinoy. Whoever answers Yehei Shmei Rabba, may his great name be blessed forever and all eternity, even if this person has a gezar din, an evil decree against him because of his sins that he has committed, he'll be ripped up if he says this properly. What does it mean, b'chol koichoy? Gemara tells us b'chol koichoy, if he says b'chol koichoy, for all his strength. Rashi tells us b'chol koichoy means with all his kavana. He concentrates, totally focuses on this. He's not holding anything else. He's not looking around. He's looking and concentrating, looking at the sitter of these words, or he's concentrating, focusing on these words. Tosfos tells us, b'kol ram, with a loud voice. It's brought down to do both. Concentrate and loud. However, not loud to the degree one screams so loud that everybody looks at him like, he's missing some screws over here. I actually just put another screw in the shtender over here. So, it has to be done. The Mishnah Berurah puts this in here. that it has to be a situation where he says aloud, but not to the point where he's attracting negative attention. And what is he saying over here? He is saying a verbal expression of mesiras nefesh, that he is giving of himself to Hashem. And this tefillah of Kaddish has the power to annul dangers from the Jewish people. Let's go quickly to understand a little deeper. This koichoi, the letters koichoi, chof, ches, and vav, take off the vav and it's koyach. 28. Rav Schwab, everything I'm saying tonight for the most part until now, basically is from Rav Shimon Schwab's itself. He says as follows, that Chazal were merames, they hinted, when they said b'chol koichai, with all your strength, with all your kavano, with a loud voice, that from Yisgadol until Olmeil Maya, says the Beis Yosef of Yosef Karo, you have 28 letters. 28 is the gematria of koach. From Yehishmi Rabba until Damiram Ba'almo, you have, once again, Chof Ches, Koyach, 28 letters, 28 words.
From where, Yehei?
From, it starts, according to Nusach of the Beis Yosef, what he has, if you start, the first one is from Yisgadal,
yeah,
until Olomel Maya, including that as well.
That's
okay?
28.
Okay, the next one is, he brings down from Yehishmi Rabba until Damiram Ba'almo. So you see, the koyach, the chof ches, is intrinsic in the actual tefillah itself. Just a quick little more understanding of what's taking place over here is that there are four spiritual worlds. We'll just say the words and not attempt to explain things which we don't necessarily understand. There's the olam ha'asiyah, the world of the physical world which we live in. There's the Olam HaYitzira, the Olam HaBriya, the Olam HaTzilus. These four worlds. We go up and up and up. These are Kabbalistic mindsets. When a person is saying Kaddish, he is elevating himself, he's elevating God's name in all of these worlds. The Olam HaSiyah, the world which we live in, the Olam HaYitzira, the Olam HaBriya, the Olam HaTzius, until under, it goes all the way up under the throne of God Himself. That's what Kaddish is doing, going straight up. And the person is saying that he's being Meiser Kol Chayai, his whole entire life, he is giving over to be an Eved to Hashem. In order to do a Kiddush Hashem in this world, he's sanctifying God's name. May God's name be great. May God's name be known. Let's now go to the story we mentioned. We can say a story with Rabbi Kiva. The story is as follows. The great Tana Rabbi Kiva once noticed a person, very strange sight. He was not wearing clothing. He was charcoaled. He was carrying on his head chopped up wood, the weight of 10 times the amount a man can carry. And he's running like a sus, like a horse. A person sees something like this. Buddy, excuse me. What's going on here? He says to him, I can't stop. And he says, excuse me, I have to talk to you. What's going on? He says to him, if you're an Eved, who's your master? I'll redeem you. If you're poor and you have to live like this and make a living like this, I'll give you money. He responds, don't talk to me. Don't waste my time. If you hold me back, maybe they'll decree on me to do more work. Rabbi Akiva says, what's going on here? What are you talking about? He finally gets out of the man. He says, I'm dead. I'm a mace. I'm in Gehenna. Rabbi Akiva, of course, was not in Gehenna. He saw this man. And Rabbi Akiva presses him more. And he says to him, what's going on here? And he told him that his Gehenna is that every day I have to go cut down trees. And I take that wood and I bring it back and they burn me with that wood. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, what did you do? What did you do in this world that you deserve such a punishment? So he tells him he was a tax collector.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I read. Tells him he was a tax collector. But what did he do? What kind of tax collector was he? He's one of the leaders of the people, he says. And when it came to the rich people, he turned his face. But when it came to the poor people, the aniyim, the impoverished ones who didn't have the money, he would kill them. But you see, Meroshi Ha'am, I was of the leaders of the city, of the nation, the Noise Ponim. I didn't deal things with things fairly. Lashirim, says even by the Shirim he was wrong. And he would kill the poor people. He would also mistreat the rich people. So Rabbi Akiva says, is any way out for you? This is it, this is Gehenna, this is hell and finish, nothing for you to get out of. And Rabbi Akiva heard, he was told, there's one way out, but it's impossible. What is it? The man says, I have to go. If I don't do my job and bring back this wood, as bad as it is, it's going to get worse.
Bring it back to where?
Back to Gehenna. Where the fires are stoking. He needs the wood. The man finally tells Rabbi Akiva, if there was a son, if I had a son, which I don't have, he tells him, who could say Baruch Hu, and everyone would answer, Ka'o Meini Hesh Merabah, Yiskal Yiskal Shmerabah, sanctify God's name, then I'd be freed. Man says that it's not going to happen, and he runs off. This man left his wife when his wife was pregnant. He didn't know she gave birth to a son. Rabbi Akiva, the epitome of Torah, Yomim V'Laila, didn't stop even when there's a situation when life and death, as we know, the Romans decreed no learning, and he learned. He said, it's time for me to find if this person has a son and tell him to say Kaddish. Rabbi Akiva found out. I don't think he Googled it, but he found out. And he went around. And it wasn't easy back then, of course. Traveling, inquiring. He finally got to the town. And he asked around, did you ever hear of such a person? What's the response? That Rasha! That evil man! What do you mention his name for? His bones should burn. And they were. They asked him, but do you know about his wife? That lady, that wicked lady, her name should be erased. Rabbi Akiva said, did they have a boy? That boy, he never had a bris milah. Rabbi Akiva found the family, found the boy, gave him bris milah. And he wanted to teach him Torah. Nothing went in. Nothing went in. He taught him, but nothing went in. Rabbi Akiva fasted 40 days. Rabbi Akiva fasted 40 days for this person. Until a heavenly voice, a baskol, came out. Go and teach him. Now it's different. Now his mind will be opened. The self-sacrifice of Akiva went to take this man out of Gehenna. Continues and says that Rabbi Akiva went and he taught him Kriyas Shema, Shmoneh Esrei, Brachos, Berachas Hamazon, benching. He brought him in front of the tzibur. He brought him to shul. V'amar Baruchu Es Hashem V'vayruch. And they answered, Baruch Hashem V'vayruch Le'olam V'ed. He said, Yiskadel V'yiskadei Shemei Rabo. And they answered back, Yehei Shemei Rabo M'vorach Le'olam V'meil Mayo. They sanctified God's name. At that moment, this man was taken out of Gehenna and put into Gan Eden. Miyad Baal Rabbi Akiva b'chaloyim immediately came to Rabbi Akiva in the dream. V'omar hiratzoim ilfonecha shetanuach daidcho b'Gan Eden shitzalto isim edinus Gehenna. You saved me from the din, the judgment of Gehenna. Power of Baruch Hu, the power of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach. May His great name be blessed forever and for all eternity.
Amen.
Not finished yet. It's appropriate. A couple of years ago, I heard Rabbi Beryl Wine speak. And there are a couple of stories which he said, which I think, time allowing, will share tonight. Could be you've heard them, it's appropriate to repeat them if you did. In 1946. Rav Herzog from Eretz Yisrael, the first chief Rav of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, he came to speak in America, and he came to the yeshiva where Rabbi Wein at the time, many years ago, as a young boy, and first he gave a share. He spoke, he said, Rabbi Wein said he remembers the topic. And after the 45-minute shiur, he said, I'd like to speak with you. First he gave the shiur, I believe it was in Yiddish. As Rabbi Wein relates the story. And then he spoke to them in English. And he said he just came back, Rav Herzog said, he just came back from a meeting with Pope Pius XII in Rome. What was the meeting about? He said he gave the Pope a list of 10,000 names of Jewish souls, Jewish children, that were given over to different monasteries, to churches, to guard, to watch, to save during the war years, so that the Nazis would not kill the kids, the Jewish children. And he said, I want his children back. These are Jewish children. And Rav Herzog told these American boys, he told them that the Pope's response was no. Not one of them go back to you. Once baptized, he's a Christian and he doesn't go back. 10,000 Jewish souls. Incidentally, I had a neighbor. Last name was Goldstein, still is Goldstein. And they're not my neighbor anymore. They moved to Kuwait, actually. My husband is had a job there. Last name like Goldstein, I wouldn't risk it. But they didn't live a Jewish life. make that long story short, she said, yeah, she knew her mother was Jewish because her grandmother was Jewish, but that was about it. They have two boys and a girl. Growing up as total non-Jews. Rav Herzog continued and said, he cannot do anything more for those 10,000 Jews. And then he says, Rabbi Wein, the way he repeated over the story, that he broke down in tears. And Rabbi Wein said he never saw a grown man, especially a man of such stature, cry. And then as Rabbi Wein repeats the story, he elevated and picked himself up and raised himself like a lion. And then he told the Talmidim, the students of the yeshiva, he said, I want you to hear something. You are all here today to make a difference. And I want you to remember this story for the next 50 years. This is what Rav Herzog said. And Rabbi Wein said this story was more than 50 years ago. And what came out from that conversation, that meeting? 30 Rabbanim in that shir, who heard this, the words from Rav Herzog, 30 Rabbanim came out from that shir. 30 other Rosh Yeshivas came out from that shir. 7 yeshivas were founded by people who were in that shir. 6 girls' seminaries were run by people who were in that shir. I think there were only around 200 people in that shir at the time. Tremendous percentage. And Rabbi Wein said over that as a rabbi, he said, of course, the husband can't fight with the wife, so he has to fight with the rabbi. He has to fight with someone. And he said every now and then when things would get difficult, he would remind himself and hear those words of Rav Herzog. How he could not do anything for those 10,000 Jewish souls that the Pope would not give back. But he said, you in this room have to make a difference. You in this room have to contribute to the Klal Yisrael. There's another story that Rabbi Wein said over. Story with the Ponovitcher Rav, Rav Kahaneman. Who came to speak in that same yeshiva a year later, in 1947. And like Rav Herzog, he gave them a shir and learning, and after the shir he spoke to them as well, on a personal level. And in 1941, Rav Herzog, the Ponovitcher Rav, Rav Kahaneman, was repeating over a story that happened to him. This is 1947 now, and he said the story that he said in 1941. He was trying to establish the Ponovitcher Yeshiva, re-establish it. And people said to him, Rommel is going to be here and destroy and who knows what in 10 days. He was in Egypt. What are you trying to work to start a yeshiva? What was his response? His response was as follows. He said that there are 17 Jews who are in jail, who are being held prisoner. He said those 17 Jews, they're going to drive the British out of Palestine, out of Israel, out of Eretz Israel. Why? Because they have the will and determination. And he said, if I had 17 Jews with the will and determination, like those Jews, I'd be able to turn this land into a Tyredika land. And he said, first of all, he's not going to be here in 10 days. And then he said, we still need a yeshiva for 10 days. If it's only 10 days, we still need a yeshiva for 10 days. I'll tell you a story now, personal story. Around 25, 26 years ago. So, not that old, I can't say 1946. But I'll say 25, 26 years ago. My sister and I wanted to go ride bicycles. My mother said no. It's about to rain. Makes sense? So, what did we do? We went to ride our bicycles. We usually listen. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. I don't know.
Probably your sister.
Yeah, probably. She was older. Followed her path. Not only did we go to ride bicycles, but I was wearing like these flip-flops as a little kid. Which I don't recommend if you're riding bicycles. So we lived in the cul-de-sac at the time, and it was like a hill. You start at the bottom, you go to the top, you come down. And for whatever reason, usually when you hit somebody's bicycle, the person that got hit is the one that falls down. It was my mazel, my luck. I hit my sister's bicycle for whatever reason, and I fell down. And at the same time, a truck was coming. He got out of the truck, and he saw a little boy bleeding from many parts of his body, my elbows, my feet, my toes, everywhere. I remember as a kid taking the blood bath, you know what I'm saying? The water was red. And at that moment, when that truck stopped, my mother opened the door and came out and saw him holding me.
Oh my gosh.
You can just imagine, she thinks maybe this truck just hit me. It's like a pickup truck. But what did he do? He stopped because he saw. Any normal person would stop. A boy is bleeding on the ground. He'd go to help. How could someone not? He picked me up and he carried me back to my house. I have no idea who this was. Years later, I don't know. I thank him. There are many people out there today who have fallen, who are bleeding, and they don't even know it. And I'm not talking in the physical sense, but I'm talking in the spiritual sense. And what's the response to all this? The response is chesed. We're here today as we're discussing Kaddish and Baruch Hu, the end of Psukei Dezimra, the beginning of the Berachos Kriya Shema. To sanctify God's name. And how do we do that? By chesed, kindness. Which specific chesed? What type of chesed? Rav Hutner is that son of Yitzchok Hutner, the previous Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. He said over that the greatest chesed a person can do is to become a Talmud Chacham. The greatest chesed a person can do. Not running around, doing this, doing that, which we need as well. But what should be his focus? His focus should be learning. And the truth is, it's his statement, but it's not really his chiddush. The Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he tells us, of course, that when a person learns, and even from the Sfarim before that, when a person learns, he gives life, he gives existence to the whole entire world. If God forbid, we know from the Gemaras, from Chazal, if there be 1 millisecond without Limud Torah, the world would cease to exist. It doesn't say if there be 1 millisecond without a person helping the old lady cross the street, which is very important, the world would cease to exist. It's the Torah, the Limud Torah, learning for learning. That is the greatest chesed. We should give shiurim just on that alone for weeks and weeks and weeks. We don't have time for that now. But that is the concept. Learning for learning. For the sake of learning God's Torah. The Rambam tells us Adam nimshach achar sviva. Man is influenced by his surroundings. What does that mean? That man thinks, he starts to think according to his environment. I'll just give you one example. One example. There are people in this room, all of us, who live in Philadelphia. If not for the fact that many of us might have been born in other towns, growing up, people might have been in the past, fans of the Philadelphia teams. Why Philadelphia? Because that's where they were born in, brought up, raised. Why not the Met fan? No, you say Met fan to a Philadelphia fan, he'll jump you. Mm. Yeah, it's not a good word to say, right? You gotta watch yourself. But why not a Met fan? Because he didn't grow up in New York. And if he grew up in Brooklyn many years ago, he'd be a Dodgers fan.
Absolutely.
So what do we see? It's very clear. Adam nimshach achar svivav. We'll discuss sports another time. But man is influenced by his surroundings. So man thinks according to his environment as well. And if his surroundings are surroundings of secular mindsets, he will think according to his secular way. So how do we think in the right direction? How do we think appropriately as Jewish people? So we have to read the proper books, proper instructions. And to that, the Torah, which means instructions, guide us in that way. And the more we become that Talmud Chacham on our level, and the more we focus our goal on that level, that is the greater we will be able to think appropriately and act appropriately. I think it's only appropriate reviewing what we learned tonight and then just tying in what we just said. We began with Kaddish. Originally we said from Chazal that the institute is seven times a day. From the Pasuk Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha, I praise you seven times daily. Pasuk Tehillim, in Parak Kuf Yates, Kuf Samach Dalet, 119, 164. We said there are three times by Shachris originally, and two times by Mincha, two times by Marav that they said Kaddish. The main point of Kaddish is to sanctify God's name by the entire tzibur. Tzibur, we said, is tzadikim, is beinim, and rishayim, meaning those who sinned and now did tshuva. We're saying word from Rosh Chodesh that they all together respond, Yehei shmei rabba mevarach l'olam l'mei l'mayo. And we said that the Kaddish originally was that Chassid Kaddish that it was. It was a whole Kaddish, and then later on, the Gaonim, those generations from the year 600 to 950, they added the Yeshlem Rabbo, the Al Yisov Al Rabbanon, the Deskabo. It needs to be with a minion, as Darash HaBekdusha. Originally it was in Hebrew, as the Gemara in Brachas tells us, Nav Gimel. As we said, the same as Barcho. Barcho has that same power to sanctify God's name, to elevate God's name, and that's what we're here for in this world. Then we discuss the Kaddish Yosem, that a person can honor his parents even after they have been nifter, after they passed away. We discuss the 28 letters in a few different places in the Kaddish. Then we set over the story with Rabbi Kiva, who saved this man from Gehenim, and he sacrificed his time, his energy, his physical well-being, forced to fast 40 days to teach this boy how to learn, how to daven, and to take his father out of Gehenim. We said over the story from Rav Herzog, that Rav Herzog said that there were 10,000 Jewish souls that were lost. That these souls were lost. And these souls, he said he cannot do anything for, but he is telling those people in that room that they had to make a difference. And 30 of them became Rosh Yeshivas, and 30 of them became Rabbanim. And 7 of them started yeshivas, and there's a soul ran yeshivas, and 6 of them started, founded seminaries in Eretz Yisrael as well. And then we ask ourselves the question, listening to that story, how can we make the difference? And the answer lies in Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah. And we have to realize that without this Talmud Torah, our minds, our actions, our lives can be as secular can be. And we explained how a person is influenced by his surroundings from the Rambam, as we gave that example with the sports. Why is it that there's not one person in this room, I guarantee whoever listens to all these shiur on the tapes, and I want to thank everybody who listens to them, that they tell me that they heard it on the tape. The recording, not a tape. How come no one is a soccer fan, a diehard soccer fan from Manchester, England? Manchester, England? No, put your hand down, I think so. Because we didn't grow up over there, that's why. Because man is influenced by his surroundings, and the surroundings that man has to make sure he's part of are Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, the 4 Amos, the 8 feet, whatever it might be, of Torah, Jewish law, of study of the Torah. And that, it was said from Rav Hudner, is the greatest chesed man can do. To understand why is Torah the greatest. To learn Torah for the purpose of learning. And the mitzvah Hashem, by fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, will merit to sanctify God's name. As we will say in Marav in a few minutes, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach L'Olam L'Omei Omayu.